Okay, so there you have it. Well, good afternoon, everybody, or maybe good evening or good morning, depending on when you happen to be listening to this podcast. This is Art Pauly, your local estate planning attorney. And you remember, my practice is professional and personal estate planning in your home or business. I mean, I want to come to you and make sure that you're taken care of properly in the privacy of your home or business. What I'd like to do in this particular podcast, in the series of podcasts that I'm doing, I call this one, Is Your Estate Planning All It Should Be or Could Be? Now, this is an interesting question, and we're going to bring up some issues that you really need to think about when you think about estate planning. And even if you've already done your estate planning, you might want to go back and take a look at what you've done and see if you can answer some of these questions that I'm going to bring up to you. And if you find there's a problem, you know, maybe you might want to get back with the attorney that did the planning for you. If it was not done by a qualified estate planning attorney, then you probably are going to have some difficulty, and you might want to give me a call and see what we can do to get you taken care of. But we're going to talk about a couple of things. First, about who needs estate planning. We're going to talk about, is your estate planning all it should be or could be? And when and how should your estate planning be updated? Now, we already have a podcast I did on updating estate planning, and in the podcast series that I have. So you can probably look back at that. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that particular thing, on updating. But we are going to spend some time on the other ones. Let's talk about who needs estate planning. And what I'm going to say right now is going to sound very self-serving, because I guess maybe it is. But it is true nonetheless. Who needs estate planning? Everybody needs to do estate planning of some type. Even if it's nothing more than sitting down and thinking, oh, you know, gosh, all I've got is a little bank account. I'm renting. I don't own a home. I don't have anything. I don't have any family. I really don't have anything. There's probably nothing I need to do. Even in that situation, you probably should still have a simple will, but you need the powers of attorney. Who's going to take care of things for you if something were to happen to you? Who will take care of things if you become mentally incompetent, even temporarily or permanently? You need somebody that can step in and do that. So minimally, everybody really needs to be looking at doing a basic will, a durable power of attorney for property, advanced directives for health care, a HIPAA authorization, at least that part of the estate planning. Now, on the other side, I mean, you could be up in the multi-million dollar categories. I met with a client here earlier this week. The estate's estimated at around $20 million. You know, I may or may not get the client. I don't know yet. But even at that, we're looking at a lot of different sophisticated things to make sure that stays under control. So the point of that whole thing is that everybody needs to at least take a look at what they have, what they want to do. What are your wishes and aspirations for your estate if something happened to you and if you're married to you and your wife? That's a really important thing to think about. And just think about it. And those thoughts, those ideas, those things you'd like to see happen are what we want to reflect in proper estate planning. So I guess you could say everybody really needs to do some estate planning. So with that said, the next thing you want to take a look at, if you've already done your estate planning, is what you've done, is your estate planning all it should be or could be? You know, estate planning, even done by a lawyer, sometimes falls short of your goals and the things you want to do. I had a client one time that had a handicapped child, and they were just in tears when they came to my office because they said they had gone to a lawyer, and the lawyer said, well, we're sorry, you can't provide for your handicapped child. And really what the lawyer is telling them is that, I don't know how to provide for your handicapped child in the trust. So we were able to fix that and get that taken care of, and they were very, very pleased and very happy. So we get varying degrees of things that happen out there. But let me give you a couple of things to think about. First of all, can you read it? Can you open up your documents and read them and understand them? Have some thoughts in mind as to what you would like that estate plan to do, and then open it up and see if it conveys that message. If it clearly tells your trustee, your heirs, what it is you want to have done. Now, you know, it sounds simple, but believe me, it is not as simple as it sounds. Estate planning, a living trust, can be done so incredibly complicated with legal jargon that sometimes it takes me 4 or 5 readings to figure out what the document actually has to say. A trust, these documents we're talking about, a properly done estate plan, is for your family. It's not for me, not for other lawyers, it's not for the court. The whole idea is to keep the courts and other lawyers hands out of your estate planning when that time were to come. So with that in mind, they need to be able to read it and understand it, and so do you. So you take a look at it. Can you read it? Can you understand it? If you can't, then you might want to take a look at having it restated or redone to into a format that you can understand and that your family can understand. Does it clearly tell your family wishes? You're going to find that out right away when you see what it actually says. Quite a bit different from what you might think it says. And let me tell you something. I have had a lot of clients that have come to me and said, well, this is what I want to do, and this is what I have told the attorney that I wanted to have done, and you can tell me if my trust does that. And I read it back to them, and I said, this is what it says. And they go, well, that's not what I wanted to have done. Well, obviously it's not. For some reason, the communication got lost, or whatever the case may be. But you want to make sure that it clearly states your family, your wishes for your family. And does it convey your legacy properly? Does it properly take care of tax problems? Does it protect the assets that are being given to your kids if you and your spouse, if you are married, were to pass away? Does it adequately protect your estate going to your kids in the case of creditors that your kids might have? You know, maybe one of your kids has a problem with the IRS or has a lawsuit against them or something of that nature, and they need to take a look at that. There are ways inside of a properly done trust to protect the assets for your kids, and that's an important thing to do. Does it do that? Does the legacy convey what you want it to convey? If you have a large estate or even you know, $1 million given to a 25-year-old would seem like, well, gosh, I don't have to work anymore. I am set for the rest of my life. And those of us that have, you know, have earned, everybody in their lifetime has earned $1 million, anybody that works generally, you know that that $1 million is not going to go that far when you're considering a lifetime for somebody. So maybe you want to convey in that estate plan something about instilling the work ethic into your kids if you're not around to do that. You may want to instill some type of incentive to go to college. You know, you probably are not going to say, well, you know, you don't go to college, you get nothing. That certainly, I don't think, would be a good thing to do. But you could put things in there that says, like, well, you know, if you go to college and you get a bachelor's degree, you know, the trust will pay you some money, you know, before the payouts or whatever you want to do. Or you put payouts over a period of time or whatever the situation is. There's no real law about that. The only thing you really can't do is something that is against public policy or that's illegal. You know, you can't say, well, I want my kids to become a bank robber like me before they're going to get anything. So you can't be doing things like that. But you can do whatever you want to, and it should convey your wishes in that document, and it should be clearly stated so that your kids know exactly what it is that needs to be done. Now, you know, I don't hide the fact that I'm a Christian, and I deal with a lot of Christian people, and I will usually say, look, when the time comes that the good Lord decides to take you home, and you're up there in front of the Lord, and he says, I want you to look back and see what you left behind. The question I would ask is, what do you want to see? What do you want to see left behind? And you think about that and then say, does my trust, do my documents do that? Do they accomplish that purpose? If they don't, then you probably need to have it looked at. The next issue to talk about is, was it done by a qualified estate planning attorney? Now, yeah, that's self-serving because I consider myself a highly qualified estate planning attorney. I've been doing it for probably close to 28 years now. And it should be done by somebody that understands how probates work and how things work and the dangers that you could get into. Someone that has done a lot of estate planning. I've done probably over 3,000 estate plans in my career. And I have seen about anything that anybody could come up with. And I've also heard a lot about what's been adjudicated and what the courts have said and can give you counseling as to what is good and what is bad. You know, when I became a lawyer quite a few years ago, you know, my wife, we had been married, I think, about 10 years or so when I became a lawyer. And she said, you know, you used to be a nice guy, and now you're a lawyer. And what she meant was that I have become a person that talks about the negative. I'm always telling people, you shouldn't do that because you're going to get yourself in trouble here, here, and here. Let's do it this way. And that, you know, that's true in a lot of respects. I do that, let people know what is good and what's bad and what they're trying to do. But you should have an estate planning attorney qualified to do that. And so you really need to make sure that's what happens. Let's talk a little bit about required documents. What do you need to have as far as documents? You know, a revocable living trust is one thing. That's great. That's the basis around which we build an estate plan, is that revocable living trust. And, you know, you can get into other podcasts that I've done about what that means. But you should have a revocable living trust. You also need a certificate of trust, which is what you would give to banks and other financial institutions to prove the existence of the trust and to prove that you actually do have the authority to act as trustee. There should be pour-over wills, is what we call them, pour-over wills. And they do exactly what the term says. They pour over assets into the trust. They basically are a stopgap. It's a thing that is out there in case the trust is not properly funded. And we're going to be talking a little bit about funding the trust. We've already done a podcast on funding, which is very important, keeping assets funded in the trust. But the pour-over will is there to put assets into the trust. The danger is that the pour-over will goes through probate, so we don't want to count on that. But you should have a durable power of attorney for each of you. There are statutory powers of attorney, and then there are more comprehensive powers of attorney, depending on how you want to go about doing that. An advanced health care directive, specifically with information about do you want to be kept alive artificially. You need to have a HIPAA authorization. HIPAA is authorization allows only the people you've listed on the HIPAA to get access to your doctor and to your medical records. So it's an important thing to have that. If you are married, you should have a community property agreement. I won't get into all of the details of what that does, but it helps you to get what we call a double step up in basis on the death of the first of the spouse in a marriage situation. You needed to be doing that. You should have what's called a general transfer agreement. A general transfer agreement basically says everything that I have, I want it transferred to my trust. Again, it's a stopgap. It's in case something gets missed. At least you have that we could use to show to anybody else out there that this is what you wanted to have done. It shows intent. If it ever does have to get into certain proceedings we have in court, it shows your intent that everything was going to belong to your trust. Funding instructions. How do you properly fund the trust? You need to have that. And part of the funding instructions has to do with real property, any real estate, your home, rental property, business property, whatever. Has it been properly transferred into the trust? Do you have a deed that actually says that the trust belongs, that property belongs to the trust? And for a lot of people that have showed me a schedule attached to the trust and said, here it is. It's on my schedule. That schedule is just for information. It doesn't mean anything. You need to have the deed showing the transfer of the property to the living trust. The same thing with any bank accounts, investment accounts, stock portfolios, whatever the case may be. These are all specialized things that do need to be part of your living trust. Well, let's talk a little further now about where we're going from this point on and see where we need to be. This is pretty much wraps up what we've been talking about doing, and as far as making sure estate planning is all it could be or should be. So let's take a look now at what you need to do. If you find there's something missing, give me a call. My number is area code 916-207-7526. And you can reach me also at my website, which is Pauly Law, P-A-U-L-Y, paulylaw.com. There's no E in Pauly, so it's P-A-U-L-Y-L-A-W.com. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.